the Redskin. Hail victory. Brave on the warpath. Fight for home, D.C.
Green driven back to midfield on the far side. He's got the ball up to the 45, far side 40. A seam to the 35, vaults a man to the 30. Breaks it to the near side 25. Watch out to the 20. Near side 10. He's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
This is Burgundy and Gold Flashback. Now, here's Mike Richmond.
Welcome to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, where the tradition of a storied NFL franchise, the Washington Redskins, stays alive. I'm Mike Richmond, author of the Redskins Encyclopedia and the Washington Redskins Football Vault. My website is redskinshistorian.com. My guest today is the greatest place kicker in Redskins history, the team's all-time leading scorer with 1,206 points. Set an NFL record with 23 straight field goals during the 1982 season when he was chosen league MVP, still the only kicker to earn that distinction. Love to perform under pressure, Mr. Automatic, Mark Mosley. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Mike.
Hey, appreciate you coming on the show.
Glad to be here. It's always a pleasure.
Great, great. Bring me up to date on what you're doing now in terms of your business endeavors. Are you still involved with Five Guys?
Oh, yeah. No, I've 13 years now with Five Guys, and we started with five stores. We have 1,230 open and another 2,500 that are sold and they'll be built over the next few years. So we've done very well with it, and I'm really proud to be a part of it. The Morrell family are a great family, and it's totally owned by them, so it's nice working in a family environment, as well as people that have high integrity and want to make the best they can with the restaurants that we have and make a lot of people happy.
I know you've been traveling around the world regarding Five Guys, going to many different countries.
Yeah, we've expanded now overseas. We expanded a while back into Canada. We have about 85 stores up in Canada right now, but we have I think it's 11 or 12 stores now in the UK. We have stores being built in France, Germany, and Spain. And we're in the process of finalizing some deals over in Ireland as well as the Middle East. So we'll probably have stores in most of the Middle Eastern countries before the end of this year, as well as Ireland. So once some of these listeners are going over there to play golf, they'll be able to get a Five Guys.
Now, I know you're also heavily involved in Redskins alumni events and formerly the president of the Redskins Alumni Association. You're also on the steering committee for RedskinsFacts.com. It's a new group created to support the Redskins nickname and tell the truth in light of the ongoing controversy. I definitely want to talk to you about that at length later. First, regarding, though, the upcoming season, tell me, are you excited? New coach, healthy RG3, supposedly more explosiveness on offense. Tell me how you feel about things now.
Yeah, I'm great. I was out there at practice, it was Wednesday morning. Yeah, I was up there in Richmond, or down there in Richmond, and I got to watch practice. And believe me, they look very good. I'm amazed at the speed we have right now. The speed is just tremendous. And I'm excited about the year. I think I really feel like we filled a lot of holes, both offensive and defensive. The new coach, Jay is going to be phenomenal, I think. The players really relate to him. It reminds me a lot of when we first got started with Joe Gibbs, to be honest with you. I'm amazed at how close a lot of the similarities are there with the way he coaches and the way the players are taking to him and the way he practices and his philosophies. It's amazing how close they are. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that good things are going to be out there for all of us Redskins fans.
Are you referring to the fact that he's taken a very hands-on approach compared with Mike Shanahan, who was kind of staying in the background?
Oh yeah, definitely. Now that's the big thing. I think the players, and like I said, with the players, they really are relating to Jay as a person as well as their coach. But they're enjoying themselves. They're having fun. They're relaxed a lot more. I can remember last year going to training camp, and it's like everybody was tied up in a knot. But right now, watching practice, the guys are very loose. They're very very relaxed and having fun out there. And that's the key. I think we're in for a good season. I really do. As long as we can keep RG3 on the field, keep him healthy. I'm nothing against Curtis, but I think he's the key right now. And if he can stay healthy and does what I think he can do and what I saw him doing out there at practice, I mean, this guy is blazing fast. And if he can continue doing those things and come back to his form that he was in 2 years ago when he, his rookie season, I think we're in for a fun year this year.
Well, regarding RG3, I want to get your thoughts on the recent comments by Bruce Allen. He said that it was a mistake for the Redskins to start RG3 in the season opener last year, and his direct quote was, "What you saw last year was almost a little disrespectful to the game of football. It's impossible to ask a player to perform well during the regular season if you haven't practiced." I'm wondering if I can get your thoughts on that comment.
Well, I agree with him. And I think it was probably, I think where the Redskins made a mistake last year was by not coaching RG3 a little bit during the offseason on what to say and what not to say. He set everybody's hopes up so high and their expectations that there was just no way. And not knowing the NFL and not knowing just how difficult it is to play in the NFL. I mean, he had 1 year under his belt, and he was injured for parts of that year. And to come back and make the statements that I'm gonna be myself, not having had an opportunity to really get to know just how difficult it is in the NFL, you've got to be 100% all the time to play in the NFL and be effective, especially a quarterback. It's such a tough position. And not to have an off season to train and to get to know the game was impossible. And I think the Redskins, if they made a mistake, that's where they really made the mistake. And I know Bruce. Bruce is one of the best things that ever happened to this Redskins football team. And his ability and his knowledge of the game and his ability to be able to put good people in the right places. And I think his statement I think he's trying to blame himself a little bit for last year, which I don't think it was. I just think it was a lot of things and a lot of stuff that happened that was out of everybody's control. And it just I think had they just done a little coaching of RG3 as to what to say and not what not to say, so that their expectations weren't so high, I think it wouldn't have been so disappointing last year.
Well, who, in your opinion, made the decision, though? It seemed that there was that friction in the preseason between Mike Shanahan and RG3. RG3, as you're alluding to, wanted to play. Shanahan was saying to him, basically, hey, you know, you need to wait a little bit. I'm not ready to make a decision just yet. So do you think there was too much pressure put on Mike Shanahan, possibly, to start him in the season opener?
Yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, there was a lot of pressure on both him and RG3. I mean, the thing about it is because RG3 of his age and inexperience in the NFL, I think it really needed to be the coach's decision. And I really think everybody wanted him to play. And I really think that they thought he was well enough to play. But I think that's where a coach with experience as he was, I think he should have made that decision. Hey, we're just going to give you some more time. We've got to give you more time to get yourself together and to feel better. And I think because a player is always going to tell you he's ready to go. I mean, he can have half his leg gone and he's going to say, I'm ready to go. Get me out there. Because every player that's worth his weight is going to be wanting to be out there. If he doesn't want to be out there, then you don't want him on your team. But it's up to the coaches and the trainers and the doctors to make those decisions for these guys, especially young guys. They need that leadership. They need that guidance. And when the coach, if he's not going to step up there and give it to him, then somebody else has got to step in and say, hey, wait a minute. I don't think he's ready to go yet. We need to think about this before we put him out there. As it turned out, I mean, it showed you what happened. I mean, it cost us the whole season last year.
The special teams, I definitely wanted to ask you about that. Of course, you're a famous special teams player yourself, but they were simply atrocious last year. The Redskins allowed three punt returns for a touchdown, one kickoff return for a TD. They committed a slew of maddening gaffes. Did it ever go through your mind to ask yourself, hey, what would George Allen be thinking under these circumstances. You played for George Allen for 4 years. The man was a special teams genius, a pioneer in special teams. Were you ever asking yourself, hey, what would George Allen be thinking in this situation?
I can assure you George Allen would not have put up with it for 1 minute. I mean, he would not have put up with it for 1 minute. The special teams were deplorable last year. It's the worst I've ever seen an NFL football team play special teams. And it was quite embarrassing to all the guys that have taken great pride in special teams over the years for the Washington Redskins. And George, you're right. George Allen was the one that brought special teams to the forefront and started winning games with special teams. I remember back in, I think it was 1975 or 76, he brought back Bill Malinchek, who had been retired for 2 years. And he brought him back for one game against the Dallas Cowboys. He called him on Friday and said, Bill, I need you to come block a punt for me on Sunday against the Cowboys. And Bill told him, he said, well, Coach, I haven't played in 2 years. He said, I don't care. He said, I know you can still do it. Come here. He said, I'm going to send you a ticket. We'll see you in Dallas tomorrow. And he flew straight to Dallas on Saturday. They suited him up on Sunday. And I'll be dang if he didn't. The first punt, he went in and blocked it. And, you know, that's how much emphasis that George Allen put on special teams. And from that, from his guidance into the NFL, the special teams became a real important part of the game. And today it's as important almost as your offense, and maybe as important as offensive defense. I think it is. I think proved it last year. But it takes a lot of work, and every coach doesn't put the emphasis on special teams that they should. But I've noticed here Jay Gruden is really concentrating on special teams. They brought in a couple of I met the coach yesterday at practice. It seems to be an extremely emotional, high intensity type coach, the kind you got to have for special teams. Somebody that doesn't put up with mistakes. He's got an assist. They've got him an assistant to help him. You know, they're putting the emphasis on the special teams. They're putting in the work they have to put in at practice on special teams. Punt blocks, on punt returns and kickoff returns and coverage. You know, that takes, whether you believe it or not, it takes a lot of practice to be able to do those things correctly, even though it just seems like on coverage you're running downfield. But there are things that you have to know that you do and things that you don't do on those teams. And if you do them, you're going to really get yourself in a crack. And if you don't do them, you're going to get yourself in a bigger one. So you really have to concentrate on learning what is good and what's not. And I think Jay Gruden's going to do that. And I think he's going to put, as we used to, have five or six guys that, hey, they're here to play special teams. That's it. And they want them. And those are the guys they'll depend on to make it happen. So we'll see. But I think from what I can gather, they are definitely spending time and putting a lot of time in special teams.
That's a very good sign. Actually, before we go to break, I just want to say about Bill Malinchek. I know that story. And Bill Malinchek wasn't some guy who was out of work at the time. He was a stockbroker on Wall Street. And he was making a lot of money.
Oh, he was making huge amounts of money in New York on the stock exchange. And he gave up a little bit to come back. But just came back, played that game, flew back home to New York.
And he blocked a punt by Danny White.
Ironic. Yep, he blocked punt. Right. You're right. First one. It was amazing.
Well, we are going to go to break right now. When we come back, I want to talk to you about your work as part of the steering committee for RedskinsFacts.com. Here's This Week in Redskins History.
Hey, it's Mike Richmond, the official Redskins historian and author of the Washington Redskins Football Vault and the Redskins Encyclopedia. From the pages of my books comes This Week in Redskins History. Redskins coach Joe Gibbs was mad after a 24-21 loss to Cleveland on August 16, 1991, left his squad 1-2 in the preseason. He turned irate when a local TV reporter, Steve Buckhans, suggested to the coach in an interview that he should be concerned with how the Skins are playing, especially since they've been widely tapped as Gibbs' best team ever. Buckhans specifically said Playboy magazine had predicted the Redskins would go to the Super Bowl. An incredulous Gibbs would have none of it and told Buckhans to take Playboy for what it's worth regarding football picks. Well, Playboy was right. The Redskins not only went to the Super Bowl that season, but won it. For more on Redskins history, check out my website at RedskinsHistorian.com. That's RedskinsHistorian.com. I'm Mike Richmond for This Week in Redskins History.
Welcome back to Burgundy and Gold Flashback. I'm Redskins historian Mike Richman, here with the greatest place kicker in Redskins history and one of the best to ever play in the NFL, Mark Mosley. Welcome back. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
RedskinsFacts.com. I was wondering if you could talk to me about that. What is the purpose of that organization? I know you're one of five former ex-Redskins who's on the steering committee. And if you can just summarize what it's about amid this controversy that's going on right now with the critics of the name, what is RedskinsFacts.com supposed to do?
Well, RedskinsFacts.com is the website that's been set up so that anybody that has a question about the Redskins can go to and get all the information they want. It gives them team history. It gives them, they're going to be able to see what we've been doing for the last 6 months in researching this, because there's a lot of us alumni who take great pride in the name Redskins. And from that, we said, well, we've got to go out and make sure that that name is not derogatory, that it's not hurting people. And so Dan Snyder took it on himself, his own money, his own, everything, to go and find out whether this is true or not. Because if it is, we didn't want to do it. And he knew that. And Dan didn't want it. He did not want to be in a position that it was something that was hurting anyone. So we went out and researched this and visited over 40 different Indian reservations, Indian tribes around the country. There are about 300. Went everywhere, talked to over 1,000 Indians and ask them face to face, does this word, does it have some bad connotations that we don't know about? And they absolutely, not one person to this day has said anything negative about the name Redskins. And they said, as a matter of fact, we're upset that they're trying to turn it into a racist subject. And they're very, very upset about that fact. And but in the process of doing this research about the name, we came to realize that the Indians really need our help. They are struggling on these reservations. I mean, they have nothing, and their income. They have high rates of alcoholism and drug, drugs are running rampant. Their homes, half of them don't have water and sewer. They don't, at the reservation. We went out to Montana this past week. They've got a hospital there that the federal government was giving them money to build. They got halfway through, and the federal government quit giving them money. They've got a hospital sitting there with nothing on the inside, no equipment, no rooms, everything. It's just nice outside, but nothing inside. They can't even, they don't even have a hospital. So there's so many things that they need that, and so in return, we decided we're going to find a way to help. And that's where the original American Indian Foundation was formed by the team. And we started going out and seeing we actually went and contacted, and Gary Edwards, who is the CEO and president of the foundation, is a native Indian himself. He's from the Cherokee tribe down in North Carolina. He's a retired Secret Service agent that worked for the government as a Secret Service and escorted presidents around for 30 years, is now the heading that up. And we found out through some of the surveys exactly what it was that that these reservations really needed, and we started finding ways to help them. Right now, we have over 150 projects on 40 different Indian reservations that are being finalized and put into fruition for the Indians. And every day, we find other projects that need to be taken care of, and we're going to work towards trying to solve those. So I think if nothing else comes out of this, the fact that we've realized that there's help that needs to be given to them, that that's going to be a good result. And we hope that all of our fans and other people and anyone that wants to can jump on board. And if they go to this website, they'll be able to see a lot of the videos that we've taken, a lot of the interviews that we've taken with the Indian personnel. And it should be something that I think that anybody that has a question, this will answer it for them, and it'll give them the true meaning. Because the word Redskins, we've even had the Smithsonian research the word Redskins, and they found that there's two ways that the Redskins name came about. Back in the 1800s, when they were going at one another, the Indians used red clay to put it on all over their bodies when they were going to fight the white man. And later on, when they began negotiating with the white man, all of the tribes, because there were so many of them, they couldn't name all the different tribes. So they joined together. They became it was a solidarity meeting, and they called themselves the Redskins. And it was for so that they could all come together and be able to join together and go and negotiate the treaties that were coming. So, you know, and from this, all the research that was done on it, not one thing came that was negative that said anything about it being something bad. Some of our own people are the ones that came up with the thing, and I think when they tried to make it out as if it was the N-word, that's when people really started thinking, hey, well, wait, gosh, if it's as bad as that, then it shouldn't be used. They shouldn't use it. But that's not what it is. And we've got to get this truth out so that people understand that Redskins is not a bad word to the Indians.
The other ex-Redskins that are on the steering committee are Chris Cooley, Gary Clark, Ray Shunke, and Roy Jefferson. And regarding what you're saying about the tremendous needs on these reservations, the health needs, and I know diabetes is rampant on Indian reservations,
yes,
alcoholism, drug abuse. Do you think it's so hypocritical on the part of the critics to be focusing on the Redskins' name while not caring at all about the true needs of these reservations?
That's where we're going with this. That's our feeling also, is that it's ridiculous. It's really bad. You know, there's a certain group of Indians who are coming forward and saying this and trying to do this, and they have ulterior motives for doing it. And they should be ashamed of themselves when they could be putting all this money that they're throwing out there and trying to do all this stuff. They could be putting it towards helping their own kind. They could be putting some of this money back into the reservations and trying to help them instead of trying to turn the name into something that it's not. And it's really that's where I really have a problem with it. And I think a lot of the Indian reservation, a lot of the people on these reservations have a real problem with that themselves. And for me, as a Redskin, as a former Red, I'll go to my grave being a Redskin. And it insults me when they come out and say I'm a racist. I mean, I'm the furthest person from a racist that anybody in this country is. And if I thought for a second that this was a racist name, I wouldn't be. My Super Bowl ring has it on it. I have a big belt buckle that was made for me by Mark Gastineau that was made by the Indians back in 1983. You know, and those are things that I've been proud of because they have the Redskins, Washington Redskins on them. And I wouldn't wear those if I thought that was something really wrong about it. But that it really galls me that they even are coming out and trying to characterize Redskins as something that's bad and racist.
Are the Native Americans that you're speaking with on these reservations, are they saying to you that they take so much pride in the term Redskins?
Yes.
They look at it as courage, warriors?
Yes. And the biggest word that it comes, the first word that comes out of their mouth is pride. Every time that word that Redskins comes up, they're saying it's pride. We take great pride in that, as does the Washington Redskins football team takes great pride in being called the Washington Redskins. There's only a couple teams in the whole league that have anything that resembles Redskins that is a warrior name. It's a fighting name. It's a name that has great pride. It means great respect. It means great courage and the will to keep fighting when you're down and not give up. You know, those are the things that Redskins, these Redskins are stand for. And that's why the Washington Redskins took that name way back in 1937. They took the name. They had four Redskins. They had four Indians on their football team at that time. They had four full-blood Redskins that were on their football team. And their head coach back then was an Indian.
Well, the most definitive poll thus far, in my opinion, on this whole issue is the one that was done in 2004 by the Annenberg Institute at the University of Pennsylvania, which surveyed strictly Native Americans and found that 90% of them do not think this term is offensive. And I think that's the voice that really matters.
You're speaking to the church, to the choir right now, because that's I agree with you 100%. And there is another poll that was just recently done, and it says the very same thing. There was another new poll that was just recently done, and it states the same and comes out with the same result. Mm-hmm. And over, you know, there are 300 nations, there are 300 Indian nations out there, reservations, and 90%, there are like 90 on these 300 reservations, there are 90 organizations like schools, football teams, basketball teams that use the name Redskins as their logo, and calls themselves Redskins. That's their school mottos. So you would think if it was something that's derogatory, they definitely wouldn't be using it themselves. When we were out in Montana just recently, we went and visited and watched some kids from their local high school team practicing football. And when they got through, they came together. We weren't even around, and we were way over somewhere else. They came together and said, 1, 2, 3, Redskins. And that they're not called the Redskins, but that's what they used as their calling when, you know, the teams, they get together and put their hands together and they say 1, 2, 3, and they holler out their team. And they hollered out Redskins. So, you know, that's those kind of things. Just if this name was so bad, those kind of things wouldn't happen. There's no way. Can you imagine if they did that with the N-word? No, it would not happen. So that's why this thing has gotten so far out of hand, and why we have got to make sure we as former players who have taken great pride in fighting for every inch we could get out there on that football field, it's up to us. We're the ones that they're trying to throw a black cloud over. And we just believe that we've got to fight for this. We can't let someone, I don't want to call names, but we can't let someone come in here and put a black eye on something that is so good and has meant so good for so long.
I just want to share this story before we wrap things up, but I spoke to the superintendent of schools on the Wellpinit School District on the Spokane Reservation in Washington State, and their high school is called the Redskins. And he told me that, hey, you know, if anybody ever came on our reservation and said that we should no longer use the name Redskins for our high school, they'd be booted off the reservation.
Yeah.
That's how much pride they take in that name.
Well, that's what we're finding out everywhere we go. And Chris Cooley actually has been doing this for over 6 months, visiting reservations. He and Carl Schreiber there with the Redskins, and they have visited over 100 reservations, and they have had not one person that has been negative on this issue.
I just love the efforts that you're taking on this issue, and I just think it's time to fight back on it. So I congratulate you on it.
Well, we're not quitting. I guarantee you we'll go down fighting, because we all feel the same. We think it's as a matter of fact, you know, we're just now starting to fight back, but we thought when this first came out, all of us thought, well, that's ridiculous. It's going to go away. Cause there's no way that they can be that naive. There's no way that they can be this naive and somebody come, but what they've been able to do, they've been able to get to some big people who have big reputations and have convinced them something that's not true. And what's sad about it is most of these people are good people and they just haven't done their homework. They have not studied it. And I can't believe that they are backing this, because we are now going to fight back and we're going to prove that it's not bad. And there's going to be some people that are going to have egg on their face, unfortunately. And they're good people.
Well, I hope to have you back on the show again this season, and we'll talk more about this. And hopefully we'll be talking about some very positive aspects of the Washington Redskins this season.
That sounds good, Mike. And thank you for having me on. I've enjoyed it. And hail to the Redskins.
Hail to the Redskins. I'll see you at some upcoming Redskins alumni events. And I want to thank my audience for listening to Burgundy and Gold Flashback. I'm Mike Richman. My website is redskinshistorian.com. That's redskinshistorian.com. For now, hail to the Redskins.